C-69. GSC Headquarters, Buenos Aires, Argentina. William Godfrey, maintaining an outward expression of calm despite the troubles which were piling up around him, once again stood at the end of the long table in his meeting room. This time his audience consisted solely of media advisors. There were no science advisors who he had politely asked to stay away until they could bring him something concrete, and who were all under close watch, having been asked to stay quiet about Kerguelen. All they knew so far was that an internal memo from the GSC's senior analysis team had described the Kerguelen event as observably unnatural, but Godfrey knew that such knowledge was more than enough to cause problems should it fall into the wrong hands. Godfrey had little faith in the memo writer's objectivity and expected that the decisive data he was waiting for, whenever it came, would pour cold water on what he saw as subjective speculation. They wanted it to look unnatural, he told himself, and that was why their findings thus far were supposedly consistent with such a notion. What Godfrey had even less faith in, however, was the silence of the many people who had seen the memo before he quietly ordered a halt to its dissemination. Thinking back to the previous year, he saw only too much irony when considering Richard Walker's hand-waving statement that it could never be possible to cover something up within an organization as large as his IDA. Given that the GSC employed more staff by several orders of magnitude, Godfrey could only hope that he'd managed to close the stable door before the memo-carrying horse had bolted. And, as if he needed another thorn in his side, Billy Kendrick had just publicly called on any GSC staff with illuminating information about the Kerguelen bolide to come forward. This was on Godfrey's mind as his media advisors happily discussed their success in tainting the discourse around Timo Fiori's newly announced space program by accusing him of cultural insensitivity. The greater victory, as they made sure Godfrey knew, was that John Cole had been baited into replying just as they'd hoped, thus aligning Godfrey's enemies and making them easier to take down in one fell swoop when the time came. "The only disappointment so far is that we haven't been able to force an apology out of Timo," one of the advisors said, "or even a defensive reply. If he doesn't say anything and instead chooses to rise above it, there's only so much mileage in this." "We have tried to ramp it up," another advisor added, "with calls for boycotts of the firms he works with and all the other usual tactics. But nothing so far has been enough to bait him."
"It never will be," Godfrey replied.
"What do you mean, sir? Why do you think he isn't saying anything about this?"
"Because someone a lot smarter than any of you is telling him not to," Godfrey said.
He straightened his tie and looked pensively out of the window.
"And I have a pretty good idea of who that someone might be."